Jewelry isn't a gift you give just once. It's a way to remind your loved one of a beautiful moment every time they see it. Blue Nile can help you find the gift that says how you feel and says it beautifully, with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com to find the perfect jewelry gift for any occasion. BlueNile.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Think you know the Brooks Ghost? Think again. Introducing the all-new, better-than-ever Ghost 16. Now with nitrogen-infused cushioning for lightweight, supreme softness that feels good every step, every street, every single day. So go ahead, take your daily joyride in the all-new nitrogen-infused Ghost 16. It'll turn your everyday miles into everyday endorphins. Let's run there. Head to brooksrunning.com to learn more.
Welcome to Fantasy Football Scout. It's Sunday night. We are streaming just after the not-so-super Sunday game between Man United and Liverpool. I'm Gianni Battici, today's host. I'm joined by last year's winner of FPL, Ali Hangrove. Ali, firstly, before we talk FPL, how are you and how was your trip to Italy? You weren't around last weekend. We missed you, but you had a good vacation in Italy, right?
Yeah, it was a nice little trip. I've been to Italy, but these were the cities that I've never seen, so I very much enjoyed them. Florence and Rome were really great, so it was a good trip.
Love that. Good stuff. Well, yeah, welcome back, and we look forward to talking about the headlines from the weekend just gone. FPL headlines, of course. Let's just touch on, I mean, it's a fairly brief one, on Man United-Liverpool. Clean sheets for those that have Liverpool defenders like Tsimikas. There's a fair few Onana owners still out there. He mopped up 3 bonus points. Mo Salah captaincy didn't work out, but the other popular captain choice, Son, didn't either. Darwin Nunez, though, Ali. I mean, for those that went Watkins, Darwin over Watkins a few weeks ago, sold Watkins, there's about a 20-point swing there straight away. It's been painful for Darwin owners, hasn't it? Both of us are in that boat.
It has, and watching him play every weekend is just... It's just on another level, so it's. I'm trying to think of a plan to get rid of him. So the initial plan to get back Haaland in for Darwin, but I might even go there earlier.
Yeah, it's been tough. It's been really tough. I myself, my plan. No, we'll talk about our plans coming up when we see our teams. But yeah, hello to everyone in the chat. Do hit that like and subscribe button. It's good to see we've already got, I think, over 100 of you watching around that, which is great. Oh, yeah, nearly 200 of you. So hello, everyone, on this Sunday evening. And hello to everyone that listens on podcast as well. Do make sure you hit that review button on the pod and obviously like and subscribe. Ali, at the moment, on Fantasy Football Scout, there's an offer for 20% discount. They've also launched their own merchandise, Fantasy Football Scout. And I am modelling one of the new Fantasy Football Scout hoodies. Check that out. There we go. It's like a dusty pink. Lovely design on the front. Got the little triple captain nod in, on there as well. So do check out the Fantasy Football Scout website for more of that merch if you fancy a last-minute Christmas gift. Ali, let's talk Green Arrows and talk about our teams as we review some of the highlights from the game week just gone, shall we? Where should we kick off?
I'll start bragging about my team first and then we'll
come
go
on
to
then.
Because... Green Arrow is a rare thing for me. They have been recently, so I'm finally on a good game week. Last game week I was ranked around just over 3 million, I believe, 3.2 million or something. So I jumped over 1 million in one game week. It was 79 points with 4 points hit, of course. So I have Dubravka in my goal with 7 points. Pedro Porro was one of my transfers, luckily paid off. Basically, Shimikas was a 7-pointer. It was a nice little, you know, bonus point as well. Gabriel was my back, basically my defense. So my midfield did fairly well this game week. My main differential, Kudus, ended up with 16 points after scoring on the back of a brace and a clean sheet point as well as 3 bonus points. So Martinelli didn't do much. He's probably on the chopping block for me. And
you've said that for the last few weeks.
Yeah, but he's always positive. Like he's
yeah, so I like him as a pick.
If you pick between Darwin and Martinelli to who to you know drop, I think it's a no brainer because Martinelli is on some of the set pieces on corners. Like he could have had a couple of assists this game against Brighton. So we'll talk about him. Yep. Palmer, what a player. I've got him a couple of game weeks ago and delivered the hole. Basically, yeah. Son didn't do much. I think he's playing on a flank now, which is a conversation to be had.
Yeah.
Salah as a captain didn't do much. I think there was a penalty shout that could have benefited Salah captainers, but you know, referee didn't give it. So another transfer of mine was Gabriel Jesus. It was with a winner and 3 points against Brighton this game week. So basically my -4 paid off with Pedro Porro and Gabriel Jesus. I sold Haaland for Jesus with a thought in mind that I would bring him in instead of Darwin, who disappointed another time as well. So basically, this is my team, 79 points with a -4, 75 on a green arrow. Just, you know, 2.2 million, you know, world rank. So I can't be happier because I didn't get much of a great start this season.
Let's talk about some of the wins then. Like, the vast majority of you in the chat are going to enjoy this one, I'm sure. Jay Norberg actually had him as captain, and that is Cole Palmer. 104 points because you had him as captain, Jay Norberg. Fair play, like what a pick that was. We have to take it with a pinch of salt because it was against Sheffield United, but this isn't just a one-off display. This is a guy that has been performing now for Chelsea over the last couple of months. And early on, we saw what, 3 penalties in 4 weeks, something like that. And we were worried, is he relying on FPL pens for FPL points? Absolutely not at all. The open play threat is still there. His XGI was something like 1.4 yesterday. That's non-pen XGI. He's absolutely flying. And when we look at the Chelsea players, he is the standout pick. He's going to be 8 million next season-ish. He's 5 million-ish this season. If you don't own Cole Palmer, knowing the fixtures they've got coming up, you want him in your team. He actually started yesterday, Ali, as the number 10 because Conor Gallagher played in a midfield two with Caicedo. Enzo was dropped. Cole Palmer played 10. Second half, he was moved out to the right-hand side, but just given complete license to drift in field. And it suits him. It's almost like a free role because he's not a wide man. He's not a winger. But when he plays out wide, he can just drift in. And he's flying at the minute. Cole Palmer's 14 was so, so nice. And actually, with hindsight, there was a reason why some did go captain Palmer. Home to Sheffield United is the best fixture on paper you can wish for. It's just we didn't really trust Chelsea. But yeah, good win there. Good win.
That would have been a very brave call because I was thinking about it, but I didn't really trust Chelsea. That was my issue because... Yeah. Sheffield United, I mean, it's always, you know, how to say, it's always a good fixture to captain someone at home, but you never know with Chelsea rotation because Palmer was, I think, rotated 2 games weeks ago, whether it was a midweek game or not, but it's still, with players coming back, you never know. And I wonder how Nkunku's comeback will... basically affect Palmer because if he plays number nine, I think he's a much better player than Jackson. And
yeah, more assists for Palmer.
Better finisher, higher ceiling. So it's more assists for Palmer, but you never know about his goal potential. So maybe he takes off penalties off him. Maybe it's still... I'm looking forward to Nkunku comeback. So
he was meant to come off the bench against Sheffield United. That was the original plan, I think. Poch put him in the squad, but didn't see it. He's given him another week. Remember, Jackson does go to the AFCON as well. So Jackson is one of the many players in the Premier League that will be affected by Asia Cup and AFCON. That's from game week 21. So all those players affected will last up to game week 20. From game week 21 onwards, if your country gets to the semi-finals or final, whether that's a South Korea in Asia or a Senegal in or Egypt in Africa, you're looking at four games minimum, maybe five out. If, though, you go out in the group stages, you could just miss game week 21. You could be back by game week 22. So it'll be really interesting with the AFCON and Asia Cup. As Premier League fans, we'll be watching with a nod to when do my FPL assets come back. But knowing they could miss five games if they get to the final, four or five if that's semi-finals, South Korea for Son, Egypt for Salah, we're talking about some of the most popular assets here. Are we thinking they're both definite sells, Ali? Because their countries, Egypt and South Korea, are fancied. They should be going to the quarters, semis, finals. And if they are, I mean, quarters would be three games minimum.
Yeah, I believe there's no point of keeping so much money in your... on your bench, especially with Son and Salah together. So one of them is, you know, definite sell, but the second one is a question to ask. It depends on players. It depends on how strong your bench is. So basically, I would sell both because Haaland is coming back. You don't have many players who cost over 10 million at the moment. But yeah. I think Kevin De Bruyne is not too far from away from a comeback. So it's interesting. Another point I wanted to mention that there's basically between game week 20 and 21, there's more than 2 weeks of a break in the Premier League. I mean, so game week 21 for Liverpool is on the 2nd of January and 20 on the 2nd of January and 21 on the 21st of January. So it's around 19 days of a break between two game weeks.
It's a huge gap, that. And that does help for those going to the AFCON. Like Salah will go, for example, straight away after 20. Unfortunately, there's other involvement outside of the Premier League for them. It'll be really interesting to see when we look at Liverpool with no Mo Salah, how that affects their firepower. Because with no Mo Salah in the game, and actually with no Son in the game, our captaincy options are limited too. So, of course, if Haaland's fit, great. Like, you're going to be captain Haaland most weeks anyway. When he's fit, it's not a concern. When Haaland's injured, we always look to Salah. We always look to Son. I think now when we're looking at bringing players in, like always, you're bringing the players who will get the most points. But bear in mind your captaincy options when you're bringing them in. Because for that 4 or 5 week spell, there might not be a Haaland fit every game. I mean, you might want to go to a differential punt, like Ali's got a Gabriel Jesus for the right fixture. Like at the moment, if I'm captain an Arsenal attacker, I'm probably going Jesus over Saka, for example, based on the last few weeks. So that'll be an interesting one, Ali. I know you love a differential captain when the opportunity presents itself.
Yeah, definitely, because at the rank I'm I'm even surprised at myself that I'm captain Salah, because in my initial thought was Son, but then I hated the first fixture in the game week. I know it's irrelevant to the outcome, but I have a superstitious opinion about it. So I don't want to... It's not superstitious. I just don't like to watch games when my captain already played. So I'd rather prefer to have it in the later games, because it's fun. You still have that hope of a hole and you still, you know, waiting, craving the game. Rather than when you captain a player from a first game, it just he blanks, and then, you know, all of a sudden your game week is already looks bad. So that's my opinion on captaining a player from a first game. But let's go into your team and see how you've done.
Yeah, go on then. Let's have a look. It's a green arrow, but it's not a big green like you. But I can't complain. The last, I don't know how many weeks, it seems like the last 4 or 5 weeks, I've just had small green arrows every week. So it's nice. You go from, I don't know, a a 350 overall rank to a 180 or wherever it is I'm at. I must admit this week, because we still haven't got absolute clarity on the Dom Solanke points, I'm still not 100% sure where I'm at, although I don't think it much would change, because I've got a first sub there in Lascelles who got six, and Solanke, as we're recording this live, currently is listed as 6 points for Solanke. Obviously, there's been breaking news today that the game will be rescheduled. Therefore, we're still waiting for official FPL, and Scout will be on this straight away when there's news. Likely, I expect later this evening, Sunday evening or Monday morning, with absolute clarity on what happens to the Bournemouth situation. Obviously, the first instincts when you're watching that game, and I was watching Gillette Soccer Saturday here in the UK, and the coverage was done so well, knowing it was so sensitive. You're just thinking about, please don't let this be a Lockyer incident, which we're all talking about in 5-10 years time, because it's listed as one of those which, you know, cardiac arrest, and you think straight away, does he survive? So delighted to hear that he's stable, and I think the term used was stable and responsive. But Ali, we still don't know in terms of FPL where that Bournemouth result will sit. I mean, Solanke was on for 9 points because he was on for 3 bonus. It's now been taken down to 6. Of course, when you've got half an hour of football left, anything can happen with the bonus points. But the goal points for Solanke weren't going to move. Conscious that so many in the chat have asked about this, so we should touch on it. But for me, it wouldn't really matter if they took the points away, because I have Lascelles coming for 6 points. And of course, all of this is secondary. Are the thoughts of everyone at Fantasy Football Scout are with Luton and Lockyer, and first and foremost, his health.
Definitely, yeah. In terms of the points, of course, it wouldn't make any difference for you because of Lascelles coming from the bench. And I think in your team, our teams are pretty similar, to be honest. When you look at the back three and the goalkeeper, it's the same. Son, Palmer, Salah are the same. Darwin, the same. So basically three different players in our starting 11 this game week is Saka, Solanke and Foden. Well, basically I have Martinelli, which pretty much you could say he covers his points, Saka's points, but Foden for Kudus and Solanke for Jesus. I mean, it's fairly similar team, almost identical. I like the setup. I like that you have Foden because it was a brave call in terms of having him before the blank, knowing that no one would go there. I had a thought about Alvarez, but you know, he didn't do much. So in hindsight, I didn't lose much. But basically, Solanke has been great form. It was just unfortunate that the game, you know, had to stop because of the incident. And it's basically, it's good to hear that you know, he's stable. No one wants to see such you know, incidents, and our prayers go to a player, Lockyer, and the team, his family as well. So
yeah, I was as an owner, I wasn't thinking of FPL when I heard the coverage. I was thinking to ask players to go out back onto the pitch off the back of that incident when it's your teammate, your captain, your friend, and play 30 minutes just feels so wrong. So the right decision was clearly taken. It wasn't taken in the Euros. And when we watched Eriksen and his Danish teammates take back to the pitch for the remainder of that football match, I was absolutely gobsmacked. It was just a non-event. And no one in the stadium, even the fans, are watching it with thinking of football. They're thinking, what about poor Christian Eriksen, and what are we going to hear next? So, yeah, right decision there. I guess it... Sorry, Ali, go on.
Yeah, I remember watching that Denmark game, and I remember watching the Arsenal, I think, when Eduardo got his leg broken.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
And the game went absolutely south after that incident, because Arsenal was on course on, you know, going on and winning the league. They were really strong. And even continuing the game after one of your best players get injured, and it's still hard because, you know, psychologically watching that injury is really, really challenging, I believe. I mean, not many people can take, watching, you know, horrific scenes, and it's affecting players. And I wonder if they do anything in the future to, you know, somehow affect it in a better way.
Yeah, well put, Ali. Thank you for mentioning that. You're right. few in the chat mentioning the idea of like, oh, Solanke points, I've got my auto sub coming in. And if that's the case, then for me, you could argue it doesn't make a difference. I've got Lascelles on six, Solanke on six as things stand. The difference where it comes is with overall rank. There's around 50% that at my rank, around 200K, that own Solanke. And they don't all have a 6-pointer Lascelles as a first sub. Many of them might have a, you know, a 1-point player or a 2-point player. So in terms of overall rank, it affects, although it doesn't affect my total points. So I'm really curious to see what they do with that. And I'm sure there'll be clarity, as I said, within the next 24 hours. Let's move on to a couple of the other displays and highlights. Arsenal kept a clean sheet, Ali. There's still quite a few out there with double Arsenal defence. Now, I'd be wary with double Arsenal defence, but actually today, against a good Brighton attack, that's a very good clean sheet, isn't it?
Yeah, watching the game, I think there was only one big chance I think they missed, and Brighton didn't really, you know, offer anything significant, because after coming back from a European game with a basically very injured squad overall, they don't have a, you know, good squad depth to rotate in Europe and the Premier League. So you could expect them to struggle physically, which they did fairly. And at the end of the game, I think Arsenal could have scored a bit more. But I'm delighted as an Arsenal fan because they kept a clean sheet. They won against a decent side and remain on top after the Liverpool draw. So I'm a happy Arsenal fan. It's good to be a Gunner this this week. So.
Yeah, congrats on that. And I'm buzzing for Kai Havertz. We'll probably be speaking about Kai Havertz in future weeks as an FPL option again. I've no doubt the goals are coming there for Kai. Pedro Porro, another defender that picked up clean sheet points, but also bonus. And Spurs were very fortunate on Friday night to pick up clean sheet points. I think the XG of Forest was around 1.5. They missed a couple of big chances. What we know with Spurs, when we buy an Adoja or a Porro, especially Porro, who's on all the set pieces without Maddison in the team, you're going to get attacking returns. Even when you don't get goals and assists, you'll still get bonus points. Like, the chances created are so, so high for players like Porro. He's so close to a double-digit haul. I think 8 points. Is it 8 or 9? He got an 8-pointer. 8 points. I don't think he's actually got better than an 8 all season. I don't think he's hit double digits. But every game we watch him recently, he looks like he's going to hit it. So if you don't own Pedro Porro, and I don't like to tell any FPL manager who you have to buy, but strongly consider buying Pedro Porro if you don't own him. He looks like he's absolutely on it at the moment. And you don't need to worry too much about clean sheet points, as mentioned. Ali, we're on my team, so I guess we'll just touch on Foden. We still don't know about a double game week. That double with Brentford and Man City that's been postponed in game week 19 because the Club World Cup, we originally thought could move into a 20 or 21 or 22. Every week that goes on and we don't have that double game week announcement, we wonder when will that drop in. My hope is that we still get an announcement for a 21, 22, 23. And with that in mind, I'm more and more tempted to keep Foden. But obviously going into the blank, I don't have any Foden minutes projected for game week 18. My plan at the moment looking at this team is Mbama out to Watkins. I then can bench Foden. And then when I buy Haaland back in a couple of weeks' time, I can pick who I sell. Watkins, unlikely. Solanke, maybe. Darwin, maybe, depending on where they're at. So that's my loose plan, I think. What do you think to that plan? Keep Foden and sell Mbama to Watkins is what I'm thinking.
It's definitely a good plan. The thing was Foden, when you sell him, you always want to get him back. And the fact that I've had it twice this season. So I've had him twice, and every time I get disappointed, I sell him, and then I want to get him back. And then it's always a struggle because you never know with his minutes. But that's a good plan. Well, you have him, and might as well just bench him and wait for a double game week announcement. If it doesn't come, I mean, he's still a good asset. I think their fixtures are really, really good in the upcoming 5 or 6 games. So I don't mind keeping Foden on your bench, and the plan to get Watkins and then move on one of Solanke and Darwin is more than valid, I believe. So that, I think I was thinking about it right when Watkins scored. When I got the notification that Villa scored, I was fairly sure that it's Watkins, and I'm saying to myself that it's absolutely unnecessary because he's so well owned, and he's basically, I could have had a even bigger green arrow had he you know, blank this game week, but his 9-pointer was really unnecessary for me, at least. So.
It's a 7-point goal, that, for Ollie Watkins. The game's at 1-1, so no one's on clean sheet points. The goal scorers of the two goals at 1-1 weren't forwards, and forwards obviously are the players that get massively rewarded in the BPS. So in terms of competition, for Ollie Watkins, he wasn't competing against the goal scoring forward. He wasn't competing against clean sheet defenders.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
It was a low-scoring game at 1-1. So when he scores that goal, you get BPS for scoring the winning goal. You get BPS for scoring as a forward massively. I think it's 22 or 4 in the BPS versus a midfielder that gets 18 in the BPS and a defender that gets like 10 or 12. So for Ollie Watkins, that wasn't a 4-point goal. It was a 7-point goal. And you look at the BPS, he was clear and away for 3 bonus points when he scored that goal. So that was absolutely huge for Ollie Watkins in the 85th minute and his, 40, 50% ownership. For those that went Darwin over Watkins or sold Watkins like me, not only are you down 2 transfers to sell Ollie Watkins, get Darwin in, to sell Darwin and no doubt get Watkins back in at some point. That's 2 transfers. That's 8 points. There's also been about a 20 to 22, 23, I think, point difference between the two players in those 3 or 4 weeks. So absolutely huge swing and well done to those. FPL Magister saying it in the chat. Watkins is a season keeper. And I can see why many decided to do that even through the tough fixtures. So well played for those that are on him. Plan for Haaland, Ali. Do you look at game week 19 and think we need Haaland back in our teams if he's fit? Or can we wait till 20? Because with my strategy, it's getting the money out of Salah, who I'll sell in 20 and not have for 1 week. He leaves in 21. That's how I'm planning on getting Haaland back. So I will therefore not own him for the Goodison Park. I think they go to Goodison Park game week 19, but I have to have him for 20, Sheffield United at home.
Yeah, I was going to say Goodison Park at the moment. Everton is a team on form. I think in their last 5 games, they've only lost to Liverpool, and the rest of the games are straight wins, and most of them are was clean sheets. So Sean Dyche has been doing absolute miracles with that Everton team. And I think a trip away, even for a City team that basically fixture-proof, I think Goodison Park trip won't be a walk in the park, I believe. So for those who think that the better way to get Haaland back is in game week 20, I think it's completely valid. And I wouldn't mind doing so myself. So it's a good plan. I believe Everton is a good team at the moment, and they're in team on form. Let's see how the Boxing Day plays out and see how they look after New Year's. So it's interesting and basically a conversation to have.
Yeah, it's getting the game's always more interesting for me when key players, and I include Haaland at the moment, but Salah and Son in the next few weeks, because of AFCON and Asia Cup, when these key players have to come out, it requires us to think a little bit differently. Because at the moment, like Ali, you and I are at very different rank points, but we still have very similar looking teams. And, you know, you've been making a point of trying to go different at times. I have too, a few weeks back when everyone had to sell in Burmo and you were given the choice of buy the one that you don't have between Palmer and Gordon. And I was like, I own Palmer. And I don't think I'm desperate for Gordon. So, no, I'm not just going to buy the other one. I'm going to go and buy Foden or someone different. You've done similar with Kudus and Martinelli and Jesus. I think it requires us to think a little bit differently, even more than ever before this season now, knowing Son, knowing Salah will be leaving soon, and obviously with the Haaland injury. So I think the next month is going to be really, really interesting. And there will be some managers that perhaps keep Son or Salah because they'll be worried about their team value, because they might have paid 12.5 for Salah and he's now 13.3 and they don't want to sell him and buy him back. For me, points over pounds, he's not going to go out in the group stages and miss one game. You go for a high upside pick in that 3 or 4 week window, and then you plan and always have the plan of bringing him back. And that's kind of what I think I'll do with both Son and Salah, right? So you're thinking similar?
Thinking exactly similar, because I think the game is in much more interesting stage when they, you know, high owned players are not there or they're unavailable or suspended or out for an African Cup. I think it's the time when you can play different, you can relax, you can basically not ignore the effect of ownership, but at least try to play, you know, have fun with it as much as you want. So it's I'm in there with you because I love when the players like Salah or Haaland or you know, Trent back in the days, they're injured or they're out of the game, so you can basically, there is no straight you know, when you know, obvious replacements for those players. So it's always fun to play that game when they're not there.
Ali, a little bit of breaking news as we are live. And I was hoping we would get something this evening. I had a feeling we would. Official FPL have tweeted about the Bournemouth game. So they've said, game week 17 will remain open after the conclusion of Sunday's matches. More information will follow in due course. The fact that they've not closed it off, as you would expect on a Sunday evening, ahead of next Thursday's deadline, by the way, makes you question what might be coming. So I'm thinking the 6 points that shows currently for Solanke, for me, I think there's a very good chance that they will disappear and they'll go. That's why the game is remaining open. And therefore, you might be relying on an auto sub. The other thing I question with the game remaining open, is there a chance that fixture could still be played before Thursday's FPL deadline? I don't quite know, and I haven't looked if both Bournemouth and Luton are out the Carabao Cup. I assume they are. Guys in the chat, do let me know. And by the way, shout out to Chai in the chat. He says, Gianni, get me on to discuss. Chai, let us know where in the world you are, but I have a feeling you're something like 10th in the world. You are effectively last season's FPL guns, Ali. But look, we're not here to talk about FPL Chai's rank. Ali, what's your take from the tweet from Official FPL? The fact that game week remains open, something's going to happen to those Solanke 6 points, right? Whether it's zero or it's possibly more with the game week being open and the fixture replayed.
I think it makes sense to wait until the official decision on the replay comes out, because you don't want to make a rush a decision and then change it, because once it's open, I mean, you can still, you know, decide what to do maybe in a couple of days. So basically, I think it's the right decision, and it's worth to you know, wait for a couple more days after. So it's I don't think there will be a much of a, you know, issue in terms of the, you know, the feedback, or I think it's still we have a couple of days. It's not a big issue for me, and I don't think it's a big issue for you know, managers who own the players, and no. I think we could wait for a couple of more days for more clarity in this incident. So
yeah, I've no doubt with the Premier League team, the official FPL team being a Monday tomorrow, everyone, they'll be back in the office, and there'll be something in terms of more clarity on the situation by close of play tomorrow, I'd expect. Obviously, on a Sunday, you expect slightly slower news. It is just worth noting that both Luton and Bournemouth aren't in the Carabao Cup. They do both have a free midweek. But again, I question whether or not you'd be asking, and it's morally right to even ask the Luton players to play so soon. Obviously, they do play in game week 18, both teams. If they were playing on Thursday or Friday night, and there are games Thursday, Friday night, again, you'd question a midweek, just to throw out there. And I think the chances of a midweek fixture this midweek are very, very slim, by the way, but I'm just throwing it out there. Luton play on Saturday, and Bournemouth also play Saturday. They're both playing 3 p.m. kickoffs on Saturday. But I still think if I was a betting man, I'd suggest those Solanke points and any of your Bournemouth points might come off altogether, and you might have your auto sub come on. And again, look, there'll always be drama with FPL when we're looking at double game weeks later in the season. And it is worth noting that if, for example, the game is rearranged, which we think it will be, double game week for two more teams. So again, when we talk about chips, you know, I had people asking me on my channel when I did a live on Friday, should I triple captain Mo Salah this game week? And I was like, no. Like, even though Salah has averaged 18 points versus Man United in the last 4 times he's played them in the Premier League, you save your chips for the double game weeks, and there will always be double game weeks. This season, many have said there'll be fewer doubles than normal because it's not a COVID season and the Queen hasn't died. Those two things have made a difference to double game weeks. But things always come up. We could see a snowstorm in January and a whole fixture list going out the window. And then that's more doubles later in the season. You could see what happened yesterday on the pitch at the Vitality and go, that's another fixture for a double game week. So just bear in mind, these things always tend to pop up. Ali, any closing thoughts from you? I'm going to appeal one last time for some likes, guys. Do hit that like button. And of course, subscribe if you're new around here. But your final thoughts ahead of your plans for next week. What are your transfer plans? Perhaps we can see your team one last time.
Yeah, let me switch back to my team and then we'll go on. So basically, for the festive period, my defense doesn't look good for next game week because Arsenal plays away at Anfield and Tsimikas versus my Arsenal triple up.
Oh, yeah.
Basically, I have three players from each team and that's not ideal. But I think I wish it's a high-scoring game, so we have a couple of returns from our attackers. I don't think much will happen for our defenders because maybe Tsimikas gets an odd assist or something. But for the next game week, I think I'm considering getting Watkins because he plays Sheffield at home, I believe, and it's a good game week. It's a captainable fixture, I believe, and. I don't like Darwin at the moment. I don't like Martinelli at the moment. These two are basically ahead of the good fixtures for Arsenal. It's hard to get rid of Martinelli, but I think there are far more, you know, far better FPL assets in the midfield positions. So Richarlison is up there because I think he's started the last couple of games and hold in both, I believe. So it's there are still good options elsewhere, and I think Darwin or Martinelli will be leaving my team.
That'll be interesting to see. I look forward to that. Ali, I think we'll be back next weekend. I look forward to that. Yeah. Next weekend, I'm thinking of the dates. When does Christmas fall? I've not even looked ahead at this. So next Sunday, yeah, we've got game. Okay, next Sunday, so it'll be Christmas Eve. Next Sunday, the 24th of December. So that's good for you, right? We're going to be streaming Christmas Eve at this in this time slot.
Yeah.
Good man.
I'm decorating my Christmas tree at the moment. We don't celebrate Christmas, but we do celebrate New Year's. So yeah. Our holidays will be a week later, but I'll be happy to join the stream and, you know, share the positive festive atmosphere and the vibes.
I like that. Well, I've just looked, that Sunday the 24th of December only has one game. It's Wolves versus Chelsea and it's at 1 p.m. so actually that game week finishes at what, 3 p.m. so maybe we'll be streaming slightly earlier that day, but again we'll discuss that on WhatsApp. But do tune in, guys, and make sure when you're subscribing you hit the notification bell and then you'll know when we're live. But that sounds good. Ali, I will see you next week, mate. Thank you to everyone in the chat for being with us this evening. Do check Ali out on Twitter. Do check me out on YouTube. I've got my own YouTube channel with lots of short snappy videos. The Gianni Battici YouTube show, working alongside Scout on that one as well. And as I mentioned, do go check out the Scout store if you fancy buying this hoodie. Not this exact one, but you wouldn't want this exact one. I've been wearing it all day. So check that out as well for the merch. Guys, I'll see you very soon. But for now, I'll see you later. And Ali, I'll let you close us off with your final goodbye.
Have a great week ahead of you. And may your all greens be at... May you all, I knew I would butcher that, so may your own arrows be green, guys. So have a good week.
Amazing. Cheers, team.